May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Behold, the bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." You may be seated. Dear saints, do you like a good show? Maybe you're into rodeos or car races of various kinds. Some folks like magic shows or those glitzy musicals you'll find on a cruise ship. Perhaps you really enjoy a great concert or an impressive fireworks display, a big parade, or maybe a tight football game where the home team ekes out a win, as long as they're the Packers. Or how about those air shows where the F-16s or the Blue Angels fly over and the sound is deafening and the sight is just unbelievable? The truth is, we all like a good show. We like to be entertained. We like to be impressed. We like to be wowed. Our gospel reading for this morning is certainly one of those wow moments for Jesus' disciples, the Transfiguration, a fancy word for what was no doubt a most impressive display. I mean, really, what would you think if you had seen this ordinary-looking human being transformed before your eyes into this radiant white figure, whiter than anything you'd ever seen, brighter than any light you had ever looked at? I imagine that we too would be pretty impressed, maybe a little nervous, maybe wanting to see a little bit more. It's like a fireworks display. It starts off great, but then it just gets better and better and builds to the finale. Well, for the disciples, all of a sudden these Old Testament prophets show up and start speaking to Jesus, men revered by the disciples. They are standing right before the disciples' eyes, speaking with God. The show is getting better and better. Then a voice roaring from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now maybe it's just a little too much. Some fear starts to set in, and Jesus has to reassure his disciples, "Rise and have no fear." It's all well and good. Jesus displays his glory, but you and I weren't there. We didn't see it. We didn't hear it. We didn't cower in fear. We probably never will see a display like that, this side of heaven at least. So what does this account mean for us? You may not have had an experience just like the disciples did at the Transfiguration, but you may have had other so-called mountaintop experiences. Maybe it was a spiritual experience that triggered some intense emotions. Maybe you felt particularly close to God like the disciples must have. Maybe something about your faith or what you had been taught for years just suddenly clicked in your mind. Maybe you went on a spiritual retreat to some beautiful place or to some place where the worship was just out of this world. Maybe you could almost feel God there with you. We humans like such experiences. We may think that what we believe is validated when we get those feelings or experiences. We might look to our emotions as a barometer of what is true. Emotions are not bad. They are part of our nature, but sometimes they can lead us astray. Now, it turns out that Moses and Elijah also had their mountaintop experiences even before the Transfiguration. We read about Moses' trip up the mountain to speak with God in our Old Testament lesson. Also, Elijah, as you may recall, went up a mountain. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Jezebel and Ahab are pursuing Elijah after all of their false prophets had been killed. Elijah flees for his life, and in verse 11 we read, "God said to Elijah, 'Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there a voice came to him. It was the voice of the Lord. It was the voice that Elijah and Moses and the disciples needed most of all, the voice of God, not the impressive displays, not the earthquakes, not the fires or the wind or even the cloud, not the impressive displays of God's power. The voice, the words of the Lord were what was needed. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Words we ourselves need to remember. The disciples needed to be reminded to listen to our Lord, but what was Jesus trying to tell them? Presumably, they needed to be reminded to listen because they hadn't been listening very well, or at least not as well as they should have been. There was something Jesus was telling them to which they had made themselves deaf. Just a few verses before our gospel lesson, we read this. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Wow. Peter wasn't listening. This wasn't the first time Jesus had told his disciples what would happen to him, his coming suffering, death, and resurrection. Over and over, Jesus had told them why he came into our flesh, why he came among us, and where he was going to the cross. Our world is really no different today, and we, just like St. Peter and Jesus' other disciples, we have in mind the things of men, the things of this world, the things that we want, not necessarily the things of God. We want the show without the words. We want the miracles without the discipleship. We want the glory without the cross. The disciples, like this Jesus they saw transfigured before him, displaying his power, that's what they were looking for. But that really wasn't the point. They needed to be reminded that, yes, this is God, but he's not the Messiah that they had in mind. Listen to him. Soon it would be time. This glimpse of God's glory would fade away as Jesus would go to Jerusalem to suffer, to die for their sins and for yours and mine. This is why we celebrate Transfiguration right before Lent. It's one final reminder that Jesus is true God. He has all of this glory and all of this power and can do amazing things, and yet he sets it aside to come into our world to die for us. Christ's true glory is shown to us on his cross. Now, we live in an age where pretty much anyone can write a book, host a radio show or a podcast, and almost everyone does. A lot of these voices talk about God. They talk about spirituality, about finding truth. You've heard them. You've seen the televangelists. You may have even bought some of their books. Perhaps you were seeking your best life now, or trying to find your purpose, or trying to make your prayers more effective. There are many people who will tell you just how to do that. Some of this material may be useful and edifying, but how do you know? How do you know whether what you hear or see or read is actually true? You must always ask yourself this question: does this sound like Jesus? Does Jesus promise I will have whatever I want in this life? Does Jesus promise that I can overcome suffering and trouble just by trying harder? Does Jesus promise that I'll always know what to do in every situation? Does Jesus promise to make my life easier? Remember, listen to him. Study God's word. That's Jesus speaking to you. Listen to him. We are the sheep of our good shepherd. He goes before us, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. When we listen to God, What do we hear? We get a glimpse of that actually on the Mount of Transfiguration itself. The Gospel of Luke gives us one little detail that Matthew doesn't. Luke writes this: Moses and Elijah appeared in the glory and spoke of Christ's departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. This word departure is the same word as Exodus. Jesus was leaving. God had saved his people through Moses during the Exodus from Egypt, and he was saving his people again through Christ, through Jesus departing this earthly life on the cross. All of Scripture points to Jesus. All of God's words point to that event. All of human history finds its focal point right here at Christ's cross. The cross is truly God's glory, proven by his resurrection. This is where we behold Christ's glory. He gloriously gave up his life for you and for me and rose it up again. This is the glory of God. Jesus said, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Listen to him. This is where God points us. We must not be like those whom Jesus speaks about in the Gospel of John when he says, "For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." Listen to him. Listen to why Jesus came born of Mary. Listen to him that your sins are paid for. Listen to him that because of his death and resurrection, you have eternal life. Listen to him when he teaches you how to pray. Listen to him that your baptism now saves you. Listen to him when he tells you that all of Scripture has been written about me. Listen to him when he says, "Take and eat. This is my body. This is my blood given for you for the forgiveness of sins." Our God is mighty. He is powerful. He is able to work miracles. He is able to do all things. And in this life, we only get a glimpse of that. So until we enter our heavenly home, we must not trust in earthly displays of power. We must not test God's love for us by gauging our feelings and our emotions. We must not listen to the voices of those who would lead us astray from Jesus. Instead, we must listen to him. When our lives are confused or in chaos, or we are sad, or we are lonely, or we are depressed, he is still there speaking to us in that still small voice of his word, redirecting our eyes to see him dying and rising for us. Listen to him. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.